Five, chip, and putt. Golf is so easy. Four? Okay, maybe the occasional wedge. Let's talk golf. It's the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN Chicago. Presented by the Glenview Park Golf Club. Now here are your hosts, Mike Gilligan and Tyler Rocky.
Special little Sunday of the CDGA Golf Show with you on ESPN 1000. Usually, we're with you on Saturday mornings, 9 to 11 a.m. A little bit of an accommodation for White Sox baseball yesterday. So you get two more hours of us, Tyler Rocky, Mike Gilligan with you, talking all things golf until 11 a.m. And if you want to join us, 312-332-3776. I do want to pick up some of the conversation that we had yesterday as well, talking all things U.S. Open. We'll also get into what's taking place at the Travelers as well, because it's a good leaderboard, but not just that, it's a fun leaderboard too. And there was some history made as well with Cameron Young firing a 59 yesterday. So we'll discuss all that and more. But let's continue with what we were talking about yesterday with the U.S. Open. Bryson DeChambeau holds off Rory McIlroy, among others, to claim his second U.S. Open. His last one came in 2020. His first U.S. Open victory with fans in the grandstands and walking behind the ropes and all that stuff. It was a really cool moment. Really good to see Bryson back on top of the golf world after he's been so close to the Masters, at the PGA Championship. He's had all of these different opportunities and chances to become a champion this year. And you got to remember, too, this wasn't the type of start Bryson had last year on his major rounds after he had just went over to live. It was a little bit of a struggle at times for Bryson, but this time around, Bryson has looked like the best live player at all of the majors, bar none. It hasn't even really been close. I don't think anyone's played at the consistency of Bryson DeChambeau at the majors this year, Mike.
Yeah, and good morning, Tyler, and good morning, everybody. It's great to be here on Sunday. If you're out going out to play golf, it looks like we're in for a super day down here in the city. It looks
hopefully
a little
it's dry old. Out.
It is, and I'll tell you, coming in, the sun is out there, and it will be out. It's going to be a glorious, glorious day out in the suburbs, so get out there and enjoy. But yes, Bryson DeChambeau, to your point, I think things started to turn around last year for this man when he started to perform well. Brooks took a lot of the attention, but Bryson was there. Bryson started to get healthy last year physically, but he also got healthy mentally. And I think he became much more comfortable in his skin as a live player and to be around his former colleagues, if you will, his former tour members. And it is no longer feeling like the pariah or, you know, I think time heals all wounds. And that June 6th decision, I think, really helped a guy like Bryson better fit in, better feel good about the decision that he made by going to live. But in the process, he kind of went away from us in the media. We didn't get to see him on a day in and day out basis. The nerdy guy, the mad scientist, we just sort of lost touch with for a while. And maybe that's not such a bad thing. And he reemerged better than ever, looking as fantastic. He looks like a physical specimen as far as an athlete. He could be a football player, a basketball player, a baseball player when you look at his stature. And he uses that, obviously, to his advantage.
Oh, yeah.
He absolutely, I mean, annihilates a golf ball. And So what's not to love now? The guy is a man of the people. And to your point about winning without a crowd and now getting the opposite end of the treatment, winning with, I think, the whole village of Pinehurst, the state of North Carolina, and everyone in golf wanting to be there to share in the experience with him on 18. And, you know, he's just now a very likable fella. And I am one that has really turned the corner on him. I was sort of on Bryson to begin with. And then when he went to live, I was kind of like, well, that's it for him. But he's won me over.
Well, the thing is that there used to always be the Brooks versus Bryson beef, right? And I feel like most people were team Brooks. And I feel like that beef has sort of subsided there, at least in the public eye, it feels like. And now I feel like Team Bryson has gained a lot of new members as well along the way here. Not to say that people don't like Brooks. People, I think, still obviously love Brooks Koepka and everything that he brings to the game. They're the only two LIV players that have won majors right now since the inception of LIV Golf. So I look at the way that he's been able to recapture fans and after being vilified for so long, and he just kind of seemed like a whiny personality, like you said, the know-it-all golfer that really rubbed people the wrong way. I think all of that put together made him a very unlikable and a villain figure in golf. And I think when he was a villain, it was good for golf back when he was on the PGA Tour, because it was a draw every single week. He was one of the big names. He had a rivalry on the tour. Everything about it was great for the sport. But like you said, we lost touch with Bryson because he goes over to LIV. He's not playing as often. He's not in the public eye as much anymore. And now he's reemerged at these majors this year, tied for sixth at the Masters, runner-up at the PGAs, and now a champion at the U.S. Open, and now what's his follow-up act at the Open out at Royal Troon. So all of this is going to be a really fascinating watch for Bryson, because he is back in that public eye, not just when he shows up for the majors, but he's a well-renowned YouTube star as well. And just kind of he caters to the young audience extremely well. Any up-and-coming golf fan is very aware of what Bryson DeChambeau is doing on YouTube, all these different little gimmicks and tricks and stuff that he's trying out to garner clicks. And he does a very good job at it. And if you're a big golf nut, you're going to love a lot of the stuff that Bryson does. You're going to click on some of it, and you're also going to think, this guy's out of his freaking mind as well.
And that's exactly true. I mean, with over 700,000 followers, he is one of the few LIV players that can really, truly say he's there to grow the game.
Yeah.
And to your point, he is resonating big time with the youth. And from my perspective, the CDGA's perspective, that's music to our ears, because where are we going to secure the future in golf? With our youth. And if the youth is embracing the game in a more unique, creative, fun way through Bryson, then we need more Brysons. Bryson now, I can safely say, is not only good for golf, he's great for golf. Because also, while he was gone, you know, he proved that some of these weird quirks and theories are actually working. The one size 6-iron, you know, length club for all of his clubs. You don't think that helped him carry that long bunker shot? Remember, that wedge that he hit was the length of a 6-iron. So there are some methods to all this madness, and it's really cool. So I think what's happening is even the traditionalists, like myself, are starting to look at this guy like, maybe he's onto something.
Right. He's implemented an extreme amount of analytics into the game, and some people are going to hate it, just like they hate it in baseball and in basketball and in football. Some people hate the analytics of the sport, but analytics does have a place in every sport, including golf, and Bryson has found maybe the gap in the market right now and exploiting it at an extremely high level, and it's working for him, especially here in 2024. I just look at everything that he has accomplished this year, and for him to reinsert himself into the limelight in such a positive way. And like you said, growing the game, unfortunately, over the last 5 years, the banner mark of growing the game was COVID.
Right.
The game exploded out of COVID. But if we can have other ways to grow the game besides a global pandemic, that would be nice. And Bryson may have a cure for that right now, because what he is doing, how he is getting the youth involved, everything about what he is bringing to the game of golf right now is positive. And I wish we got to see him on a PGA Tour-esque schedule where he is playing almost every single week. But we both know that is not what is best for Bryson. And I think his ability to connect off the course and online with people is helping that persona grow, and is kind of, I mean, I feel like more people are seeing him than a lot of these PGA Tour golfers on a week-to-week basis, just because of what he's doing both on and off the course.
And they are. They really and truly are. And Bryson's been set up for success in this regard because of LIV. He doesn't need to go week-to-week, tour-to-tour anymore, because he is set financially for life. Now, Bryson gets to go do what he wants to do, what he's passionate about, And that's bringing the game to the youth in some of the most fun, creative ways. I mean, you're going to watch if he tees it up with a junior set of golf clubs, like the U.S. Kids
Club,
and plays 18 holes, I'm watching that.
Yeah.
I mean, just to watch him play with those little Tinker Toy clubs, but he still shoots under par. Mm-hmm. And then he teams up with Paige Sporanek, and it's, hey, let's play from the red tees, two-person scramble, and let's see if we can break 50. Mm-hmm. It's things like this, so out-of-the-box thinking, that makes golf a little bit more fun. It's packaged differently. We get to view it differently. And there are just certain aspects of Bryson's game that are so fun to watch. How straight and how far he can hit a driver is just beyond me. But then he's also got a short game that is incredible.
Oh, yeah.
So it's he's got everything. And you know what? Bryson finally gets it. The way that he's connecting with youth, the way that he's, you know, connecting with people. It's almost as if Bryson stopped trying so hard to be liked.
Yes.
I think mm-hmm. that's, you know, it's like that old cartoon with the big bulldog and the little guy, and the little guy just wants to be the big guy's friend. Mm-hmm. And that was kind of Bryson, I think, with the whole Brooks and trying to fit in.
Yeah.
Now he's comfortable in his own skin, and I think he is who he is, and I love it.
Yeah, I think he's been fantastic for the game. Everything that he has brought to the table has been important for growing it. And you brought up the short game there. He called the shot out of the bunker the best shot he's ever hit in his life. Everything that he is doing right now is a positive for the game of golf. And it's amazing, too, because I don't think, remember when everything came down with Liv a couple years ago, and there was the tension and the divide during these majors, when the LIV golfers and the PGA Tour golfers would get back together, there was a clear divide whenever you heard on-course cheering and stuff like that. If you asked me a couple years ago that we're going to see the reception for a LIV golfer that we saw for Bryson out at Pinehurst, I would have never believed you. Because what the reception that he got out there at Pinehurst, it felt like a home game for him. And for him to go out there, feed off of the crowd. I mean, he was playing with the crowd the entire time. There's the one shot on Saturday where he's thinking about going for it with driver, and then he thinks about it, talks it over with his caddy, and ends up opting for an iron instead. And the NBC mics pick him up going, please don't boo me for this. And he grabs the iron out of his bag, and then everyone on the tee box starts booing him because he's not taking the aggressive line when Bryson is Mr. Aggressive in every facet of his game.
But, you know, the old Bryson wouldn't have even said that. He would have taken it out, and then they would have booed, and then he would have felt bad. Mm-hmm. Then he would have gotten into, you know, whatever mood.
Mm-hmm.
But not anymore. It's like he's almost now knowing how to use it to his advantage.
Yeah.
And then I would also say, not only is Bryson opportunistic, but he's opportunistically smart. And what I mean by that is he had that opportunity to do the right thing with Xander. Yes, he was walking off the range. Mm-hmm. Yes, they were both going to the locker room. But he did the right thing. He saw that opportunity and seized it. But what a lot of people don't quite understand is if you watch closely at the U.S. Open, the 72nd hole, when Bryson was supposed to putt. Now, traditionally, you know, it's supposed to be his stage.
Yeah.
So Matthew Pavone should have putted first by the, quote, unwritten rule etiquette so that the final champion makes it and then there's bedlam and, you know, then the other person isn't, you know, trying to finish out in the course of chaos. So, yeah. So what Bryson did is he had Matthew actually putt second, because he felt, and he told Matthew this, that you're going to show me the line. I don't think that would be fair to Rory.
Yeah.
So he made that putt, and we don't find out about that until later.
Right.
But that just goes to show you how opportunistically smart I think Bryson is in rebuilding his brand. I mean, he, for the last couple of weeks, just simply can't miss among people.
No, he really can't. He's been doing everything right and has been a PR dream, it feels like. And he was rewarded with it, with that U.S. Open championship, his second major of his career. And we'll look to follow it up at the Open in about 4 weeks from now. So 312-332-3776. The flip side of Bryson, too, is that LIV Golf's individual championships are coming to Bolingbrook.
Oh, yeah.
This upcoming summer as well. So Has Bryson Mania made you change your mind or maybe inclined you to go out to Bolingbrook and take in the LIV individual championships? Let's discuss all that and next when we come all that and more next when we come back. This is the CDGA Golf Show.
This is the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1100.3 HD2 and the ESPN Chicago app. How's your golf game? Yeah, mine too, but more on that later. It's time for more golf talk on the CDGA Golf Show, your guide to golf around the world and in your neighborhood. The CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1000. Now here are your hosts, Mike Gilligan and Tyler Rocky.
This segment brought to you by Coghill Golf and Country Club, home of 42 practice bays with Top Tracer technology. CDGA Golf Show with you on a Sunday. If you missed us, we had an hour yesterday. You can check it out on the podcast on the ESPN Chicago app. Download that ESPN Chicago app. Take us wherever you go. And you can always find us with the podcast on the CDGA Golf Show tab. So LIV Golf and their individual championships are coming out to Chicago September 13th through 15th out at Bolingbrook Golf Club. And Bryson DeChambeau, your now reigning U.S. Open champion, is going to be a part of that mix out at Bolingbrook. And we didn't know if we would have a LIV champion on the major circuit this year, but we do know that one of the major champions will be there. And in fact, you'll have two of the last seven, at least seven, potentially three of eight, as we see what happens and how the Open Championship unfolds. But you're going to have lots of major winners at this event at Bolingbrook Golf Club, and Bryson, the latest of that crop. And I look at the intrigue of the LIV Golf Championships, individual championships that will be taking place at Bolingbrook. Everything about it has become a lot more appealing. The name brand, the stardom, the way that Bryson has endeared himself as not just a golf superstar, but an internet sensation as well. You're going to see high-level golf, and oh, by the way, you don't have to go all the way out to Sugar Grove. Bolingbrook is a much more accessible spot to get to, and Bolingbrook's one of those places that I'm sure in our listening audience right now, hundreds, maybe thousands of people have played at Bolingbrook, and you're going to get to see how some of the best in the world, including the U.S. Open champion, tackle that course. I think it's going to be interesting.
Oh, it's going to be fantastic. And what I think is going to be more enjoyable for most is the fact that it's at a public venue and one that many of us have played. I've played it multiple times. Mm-hmm. In fact, the CDGA, we go there with a two-person Kemper Cup scramble that we do, the qualifier there. We'll take various other qualifiers and State Am qualifiers to there. So it's a really, really good public golf course, and it's going to be interesting how the build-out and what it's all going to look like. I'm intrigued to go just because I want to compare it to Rich Harvest. But when you go to Rich Harvest, most of us don't have a chance to play Rich Harvest.
Right.
So this is going to be an opportunity to actually see where Phil Mickelson, John Rahm, Bryson DeChambeau, where these guys hit it versus where you hit it and which tees you played. So this is going to be, I think, again, good for Chicagoans who really enjoy and can appreciate the talents that these guys have to really go ahead and compare it to their own. And I know, talking with Patrick Lynch already out at Bolingbrook, the number of rounds have skyrocketed
in
the interest. And I'm looking at the tickets. They're already low on inventory, the Birdie Shack. The Gallery Club Loge boxes are sold out. Club 54 is almost out. Gallery Club is extremely low. What Bryson just did is he helped put Bolingbrook on the map, and it was the best PR marketing tool you could have ever had. Just have one of your guys go out and win the U.S. Open and watch ticket sales soar, and that's what's starting to happen. So if you want to go on out to Bolingbrook, I suggest you consider getting some tickets rather soon. But it is going to be really cool. They have oodles and oodles of land out there. The acreage is incredible. They are going to be able to put on, I think, an event within the event that a lot of you and us are going to be really impressed with when you go on out there, if you do go.
Yeah. Is Bryson bringing you out to Bolingbrook? 312-332-3776 if you want to join us. Maybe you were on the fence. Maybe you had no interest in going. But now that the U.S. Open champion is going to be in very close proximity to where the Chicago district is that going to get you out there? 312-332-3776. And it's notable, too, because there is no PGA Tour stop along the way in the Chicagoland area. We're not going to Medina or Olympia Fields this year along the PGA Tour. We had that last year, and it was a fantastic event at the BMWs last year. But this time around, there is none of that. You're going to get the NV5 up at the Glen Club, and you're going to get Live Golf out at Bolingbrook right now. So those are going to be your two tastes of professional golf within this area right now for 2024. So for me, I'm fascinated by it. I think the accessibility of it, where it's not going to be a 90-minute drive and you're going to be in the car for 3 hours round trip, everything about it's a course that, like you said, not only is it a public course, but it is, by what golf standards are nowadays, a very affordable course as well to go out and play. What is it, like an $80 tee time?
It's something about that, depending on daytime and all that.
But like you can play this course for $80, and it's going to be the same one that Bryson and John Rahm and Brooks Koepka and Cam Smith and Phil Mickelson all are going to be teeing it up on as well. Sergio Garcia, Tyrrell Hatton, like all these guys are going to be there playing in these individual championships. And it's a very affordable, by golf standards, course for you to go out and play.
Yeah, I mean, you're going to get to see several, not just one, but several different Masters champions, U.S. Open champion. You're going to see PGA champions. You're going to see British Open champions.
Yeah.
I mean,
and recent ones,
and
too.
And all recent ones, because even if they won, they then quickly jumped over to Live if they weren't already over in the likes of Cam Smith and John Rahm. But Brooks and Bryson.
Like, think about the guys that have won majors in the last 5 years that will be at this thing. It's going to be, obviously, Bryson, John Rahm, Brooks. You're going to have Cam Smith, Patrick Reed.
Charles Schwartzel. I mean, he's a Masters winner.
Yeah.
I mean, he's going to be there.
Phil will be there.
Phil Mickelson. And he just won the PGA.
That's right. Not too long ago. Yeah, that's right. So it's going to be a loaded field out there. And the draw, I think, is certainly there. The proximity is certainly there. And the access, too. And listen, it's one of those things where I believe this is a three-round event, right?
If they're
continuing, three-round events. So it's not going to be like, oh, if you want to go, you have to get on out there for 4 days. No, it's Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So it's very easy, very accessible, everything about that. And Bolingbrook knows how to put on an event, too.
They do. And, you know, the funny part about it all is, too, it's you're going to spectate this thing like you would maybe going to a Hawks game, because it's a 12:15 start.
Shotgun. Yeah.
And, you know, while you may say, but immediately the golf course is full. And it's just, if you've never seen this, folks, try it. Go on out there and just watch this. It's not traditional. I get it. I'm not a big fan of it on the day-to-day. But for something that's unique like this, it is really cool. And from a fan's perspective, you couldn't have asked for anything better, because no matter where you go, you got golf. You don't have to wait for a few hours to get the golf course full.
Right.
And then at the end, there's only a couple of groups. This thing goes all the way in this regard for a solid, you know, 4.5 hours or up to 5 hours, depending on how long they play. But to your point, Bolingbrook, the Kemper Sports crew, they manage that place. They do such a great job. I would love to see Chicagoans come out and support this, not because I'm a Live fan, basically because I'm a golf fan. And this could be our opportunity, when they finally get this thing together, to bring an elated world event to Chicago. If we come out in gangbusters and put on a fan show and show why Chicago is bullish on golf, I have a funny feeling the PGA Tour is going to take a hard look at this market, because the USGA, the PGA of America, they're not coming back anytime soon. And if I'm the PGA Tour, I want to lock up one of the greatest golf markets and take it away from the USGA and take it away from the PGA of America and bring in one of the biggest world stage events. And maybe there's only two in the United States and the other six are around the world. But Chicago deserves it. And I hope that this might be a small step in going in that direction.
It's funny because LIV Golf has shown tremendous loyalty to this area, albeit a very small sample size, but has shown tremendous loyalty to this area. They keep coming back, and it looked like they weren't going to be here this year. And then what do you know? They put their individual championships in Bolingbrook. The PGA Tour has not done that. I mean, we got the BMWs here. The BMWs were also at Olympia Fields, but during COVID, so there was no fans out there. So they have not shown that level of loyalty to this area. Meanwhile, on the other side, LIV Golf has. And it, for people who want to go out and see golf tournaments, LIV Golf has given you that, albeit a little bit of an untraditional format, shotgun starts, music blaring, all that stuff. It's a little different, but it's still a good time, and it's still a golf tournament, and it's still the best of the best in the entire world out there.
Right, and I think early on when this whole LIV PGA separation occurred, I think there was that natural gut reaction that, oh, these guys aren't going to practice, they're not going to be as good. Mm-hmm. Well, they are every bit as good, and maybe in certain cases even better as a result of this unconventional way, spacing out, load management, the whole thing. It agrees for some, and it may not agree with others. But to your point, we are going to be able to see the highest level of professional golf this year, and LIV has been loyal to Chicago. And I know that because LIV contacted us, and we also are in contact with a lot of these clubs. I can't say which clubs were involved, mm-hmm. but let me tell you, LIV did not want Chicago to go away. When they couldn't get Jerry and the membership to go for a third year, they knew they needed a break. They did not want to give Chicago a break. And you know, they tried to go up to the North Shore. They tried to go out into the Western. I mean, they tried everywhere because they wanted to stay in Chicago. And I am so glad that they found at Bolingbrook. Now, some may say, Bolingbrook? Man, I can think of all these other ones. Well, but when you think of a Cog Hill, for example, they've got weddings. They've got other things. They just can't throw away their day-to-day business. And, you know, it's that kind of you know, loyalty that I think is going to ultimately reward LIV, but it's also going to reward Chicagoans.
No doubt about it. 312-332-3776 is Bryson getting you out to Bolingbrook. We'll discuss a little bit more, take some of your calls as well. And the runner-up at the U.S. Open, Rory McIlroy. What is next for him as he has now taken a couple weeks to step away from the game for a little bit after the heartbreaking finish that took place down at Pinehurst? We'll do all that and more coming up next. This segment brought to you by Cog Hill Golf and Country Club.
This is the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1100.3 HD2 and the ESPN Chicago app. Welcome into the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1000, presented by Glenview Park Golf Club. Here's your hosts, Mike Gilligan and Tyler Aki.
Brought to you by PGA Tour Superstore. Visit any of our Chicagoland locations today. Real quick, before we get to Rory, let's squeeze in a call here. Alex is in Buffalo Grove. What's up, Alex?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Hey, Alex.
So I may have a differing opinion on this whole wanting to host up in Chicago. I love having events local we can go see, and I'll probably go to the final day of the LIV Championship. But the problem with Chicago hosting golf tournaments is that we have such a short golf season that for a lot of us, they want us to shut down that course for a month beforehand, and then supply and demand is going to raise the rates of the course that we want to play going into the event or after the event. And so that's kind of my concern there, and we've seen that. So I'm playing dub strut tomorrow morning in a scramble, and look what's happened with the pricing there ever since they hosted the event. So just my thought, again, I could be wrong, I'd be the minority there, but I think having events in Wisconsin's great, but Chicago, because our window is so short, I prefer to have to drive 2 hours than, you know, have a local course host something.
Yeah. No, Alex, yeah. It's a very good point, and one that you and I were kind of talking a little bit about during the break, is that, yes, the season here is short, but I will say, it does feel like it's lengthening a little bit. Every single year, it feels like we get a few extra days, whether it's on the front end or the back end. I mean, my first round this year came in February in Chicago.
So did mine.
It was, I mean, we're starting to see it more and more the lengthening of the season. So, yes, in the here and now, I get it. But I think as we move forward a little bit more, maybe in the next 5-10 years, when it feels like we may tack on a few more days on both ends of the season, that's when I think it should be a definite yearly stop, because you will have a little bit of extra time. Because, yes, the course obviously has to shut stuff down, get everything in championship-level condition, make sure the greens are rolling right, the fairways, the rough, get everything into peak tour-caliber condition. And it doesn't happen overnight. You need plenty of time to do that, as you well know.
Oh, yeah.
But it's one of those things where I feel like we're starting to trend that way, and the golf season is a little bit long. Because, like, now you can play all the way into November here.
Yeah, and to be honest with you, we, as amateur golf associations across the country, the USGA recognized the global warming impact, because we now lengthened our season. Normally, it would have started April 1st. We are now starting March 15th for score reporting. Mm-hmm. And on the back end, we used to end right on Halloween. The last day was the reporting, you know, would be the end of our season, so to speak, in Chicago. It is now November 14th.
Yeah.
So we have added 4 more weeks to the schedule, to your point. But to Alex's point, and I understand what he's saying, a lot of clubs have to make a lot of capital investments to go ahead and host one of these things. I'm not saying Bolingbrook did, but when you are on the conventional shopping list or you're being courted, generally the PGA, USGA, and or PGA of America will come in and they'll say, okay, you could probably host one of these things, but the following conditions need to be met before we even entertain this idea. And it may be a new bridge. It may be because that bridge is just too small. It may be you've got to put in new tees. It may be that, you know, all kinds of different things. Trees need to be removed. Trees mm-hmm. need to be added, whatever it may be. There is usually a punch list, and there is a cost to that. Now, is that all made up on the business end of the agreement? Most of the time, but not all the time. Some events lose money, and that's just a fact. So, you know, I see what he's saying, and Chicago is a short season, you know, when you really want to look at prime golf weather. Mm-hmm. And I think clubs that have 18 holes only fall into the category of, yeah, it's really tough on the membership. We don't want to give up the golf course. But when you go to Olympia Fields, when you go to Medina, they have 2 or 3 golf courses, and that also aids in the infrastructure, but it also allows the members to go other places. But when a private club makes the decision to host a major championship or even a tour event for that matter, they're doing it collectively as a club because they want to give back to the game. Is it a nuisance? It sure is. Mm-hmm. Does everybody in the club 100% in favor of the event? Never. Mm-hmm. There's always a few people. In fact, when I was at Wingfoot, Wellington O'Mara, the owner of the New York Giants, wrote a letter to say to the members, just pay the PGA of America $10,000, make them all go away, because then they get their millions and we get our club back. That's how some people actually think. Now, when you have more money than the law should allow, it's easy to think that way. But for a lot of these clubs, the capital improvements, the phone systems, to everything that's in the ground gets improved. So the clubs want to host these things because overall their clubs become, you know, more modernized. They get capital and operational improvements that don't hit their operational budget, so to speak. There's a lot of good that comes from it, but the end result might be more demand with little supply. So you know what that does in basic economics? It is going to raise the price because you should. And it happened to Cog Hill. Will it happen out at Bolingbrook? I'm sure. But remember, that's also more of a community course. And I think that they will keep their pricing in line, if I know, you know, what I know of Kemper Sports and how they think about golf here in our market.
Yeah. 312-332-3776. Let's talk a little Rory when we come back here, because he was the runner-up at the U.S. Open, and it's been now a decade since he has won his last major. It doesn't feel like that, but it's the truth. That's where Rory McIlroy is, and Xander Schauffele, the reigning PGA champion, also had some thoughts on Rory McIlroy as well and what he is going through. So we'll do all that and more when we come back. This segment brought to you by PGA Tour Superstore. Visit any of our Chicagoland locations today.
More golf ahead. The CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1000, presented by Glenview Park Golf Club. From PGA to where you should play, this is the CDGA Golf Show with Mike Gilligan and Tyler Aki, presented by Glenview Park Golf Club.
This segment brought to you by Golf Elgin, home of Bowes Creek Country Club and the Highlands of Elgin. Talking a little golf with you till 11 a.m. Usually, we're with you on Saturday mornings, but we only had an hour yesterday, so you get two from us today. You miss anything, check it out on the CDGA Golf Show tab on the ESPN Chicago app or wherever you get your podcasts. All right, Rory McIlroy. Yet another runner-up finish, his fourth since the time that he last won a major in 2014. And it's crazy to see some of the video and pictures from the last time he won to where he is now, because he looks like a completely different human being. You can see he just looks more mature. He doesn't have the long flowing lettuce coming out the back of his hat anymore.
No.
It is a more well-groomed Rory McIlroy now at this point. But, he has withdrawn from the Travelers this week. He's going to take a few weeks off. He will return at the Scottish Open, and then he will play at the British Open the following week. But this is a guy who needs some time away, because it feels like the weight of the golf world has come crashing down upon him, and he's just trying to find ways to cope with all of it right now and figure everything out. And he needs to get back into that good headspace, because he has been far from it, both on the course, off the course, and even the, if this makes sense, off the course, on the course stuff too, where he is the figurehead of the PGA versus LIV battles and everything that went down there. And he perpetually is peppered with, oh, is Rory going to LIV rumors? And there was the rumor that, oh, he had accepted an offer and it was just a formality at that point. And everything that's happened with Rory McIlroy over the last 2 years and change, really, has been a weight on his shoulders like I don't think he could have ever imagined when he first picked up a golf club and first won a major as well. Everything that has been put on his plate is something that regular golfers do not have to deal with on the PGA Tour or even on the LIV Tour. And even superstars. Scottie Scheffler's not going through the stuff Rory's going through right now. And even though Scottie's had the much higher success rate over the last 5 years, he's not going through the same level of pressure and day-to-day grind that Rory McIlroy has been going through over the last couple of years, especially since the inception of LIV.
Right, and honestly, I think Scottie knows his place. He likes to stay in his lane, and he pretty much keeps it pretty simple. Rory, on the other hand, has a very complicated and chaotic life at times, but I think he thrives on it at times, and I know he does at various times.
And listen, it's not like he's missing cuts and stuff like that. He's still registering top 10s and top 5s and runner-up like he was last week. He's still playing an extremely high level of golf that your average PGA Tour player would kill to have.
No doubt.
But it's just not the Rory McIlroy championship standard that he sets for himself and players of his ilk set for themselves.
Right. And, you know, and as you described all of the things that are weighing on Rory, let's also remember before he stepped onto the tee at Valhalla, he'd filed for divorce after he had just won a golf tournament at the Wells Fargo. He then has got that personal life drama mixed into all of this. But then all of a sudden he's going to tee it up at the U.S. Open, and now he's reconciled. So now you're thinking, are we going to have that wonderful week where it all comes together with a nice, you know, red bow at Father's Day and Rory finally getting off the decade schneid, if you will, for majors? And we witnessed the cruelty of the game of golf. I mean, there's just no way around it. I mean, the biggest nightmare of any golfer we watched unfold right before our eyes at the Nations Championship, the biggest event, and you know, it was right there in his hands. I mean, it was, he literally had his hands just about on the trophy and it was snatched away, or should I say, it lipped out away.
Yeah.
And not once, but twice. And, you know, and it was interesting to watch Rory finish. I think his first 68 holes were very Rory-esque. I think he started to become more like us at 15. And when the putt was missed then at 16 and all of that, the I think it just led to an ultimate cave-in at 18 for him. Mm-hmm. And he did some things that he didn't normally do. For example, at 18, he decided to hit driver when he never hit driver all week, not even in the practice round. But why wasn't his caddy taking the driver away from him again? Like, there's no need for you to hit this thing. You can hit the 3-wood plenty. You could hit, heck, you could hit an iron off the tee and still be okay. But no, he allowed Rory to just do what Rory wanted to do. And I think Rory started to get in the way of himself in how he ended up trying to make a par by missing the green short. And then some will say the chip wasn't that good. I thought it was actually pretty good. Now, it did get a bit bass pin high, and it's a very difficult putt.
Yeah.
And, you know, so at the end, it was it was very tragic to watch. It was really hard to watch, really, for me. I really wanted them both to win somehow, but I know that couldn't be the case. But
yeah.
I wanted whoever to win it. I didn't want somebody to lose it, and we witnessed that.
Yeah, and in fairness, too, Bryson did plenty in his own right to try to give that thing away as well. I mean, it kind of felt like they were playing a little game of tennis of not wanting to take it and hot potato with the trophy. So, like, the missed short putts from both of them and everything that went down on Sunday, pretty much from holes, 13 to the finish, was epic theater.
It really was.
And the U.S. Open got a hell of a finish. And I actually have not looked at to see what the TV ratings are. Maybe I'll take a look at that during the break. But I'd imagine NBC very happy with how everything played out. You had marquee names. You had LIV versus PGA. Everything came to a boil for the end. And you got a final product where wasn't the purest form of golf. You did see some spectacular shots, but you certainly saw your fair share of blunders as well.
You certainly did. And, you know, I ended up watching it because it was Father's Day Sunday. I was with my father and my brother and my nephew, and we had a whole family gathering over at my brother's house. And I have to tell you, those last 5 or 6 holes was so entertaining. Our TV area was so loud with just the cheering and the agonizing. And I mean, it was quite a roller coaster ride of golf on Father's Day Sunday afternoon. And, you know, for us, it was some of the most enjoyable golf that I have seen all season. And I know that my brothers and my dad and my nephew, we will always remember this one particular Father's Day as a result of this. I mean, it was, where were you when Rory missed it? You know, it was one of those kinds of moments. And, you know, I feel so bad for him, but unfortunately, that is the game of golf. It can be so kind and yet so cruel, and it just depends on the day.
So I found the TV viewership, and it was good. It was very strong at the peak. It peaked right at the end, from basically from 6:15 to 6:30, and then 6:30 to 6:45. It was around just shy of 11.5 million viewers.
Wow.
At that point. And the average viewership, 5.9 million across the 7-hour window on NBC, made it the most watched East Coast final round since 2013. So it was, it delivered, and NBC clearly going to be happy with that. And especially with, I believe Peacock too was running some sort of deal right ahead of the U.S. Open, and it's funneling into the Olympics and the Open Championship. And remember, they've got the Friday night football game for the NFL as well. That's going to be a Peacock exclusive. And I'm sure we're going to find out all along the way that there's going to be more and more and more different events that are going to be Peacock only. And I think they were running like a $20 special for the whole year. And so I'm sure that also contributed to this number, because I'm sure a lot of people hopped on that while they could.
Oh, I'm sure they did. And if I'm not mistaken, I believe these numbers are actually better than the Masters.
The the average, I don't think is, but the peak might be.
Yeah, yes. The peak was, mm-hmm. but the average was not.
Yeah.
But still, I mean, to be in the same breath of the Masters,
yeah,
that's,
for sure.
That's showing you have the leaderboard and you have all the theater. And that Pinehurst didn't disappoint, as we knew it wouldn't. And again, we said it again yesterday, that's why the USGA is going back here five times in 25 years.
Yeah.
And we mentioned it a couple of weeks ago, but I truly think Pinehurst is our capital for golf.
I 100% agree.
You know, people will say, oh, Pebble Beach. Uh-uh. Pinehurst, it is golf heaven. And there is a slice of Pinehurst between their 10 courses, between your budget and your playability, that is just up your alley. And it is, if you've never been, you got to go.
Yep, 100%. All right, when we come back, we'll take a look at what's going on at the Travelers right now. Great leaderboard that they've got out there. So we'll do that when we return. This segment brought to you by Golf Elgin, home of Bowes Creek Country Club and the Highlands of Elgin.
This is the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1100.3 HD2 and the ESPN Chicago app.